Zions Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zions Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Zions Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 20th, 2013. The sound of that horn. Saints, the world is in turmoil, and most just do not realize it, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, I want you folks to remember, because I'm getting ready to release the website address, that a lot of you folks out there I know are listening on radio. Or by some other means, a lot of you do not use the internet. And would you wonder, in this day and age, when we just heard about PRISM and all the things, that there are a lot of people are not wanting to leave that footprint. But if you use a cell phone, you've left a footprint. It doesn't have to be the internet. From what I read about the cell phone metadata, when you send a picture from your cell phone, it has all the data, your time, your location, GPS, all that. So, staying off the internet isn't going to not leave you that footprint. It just might make it a little smaller. But anyway, I've always believed that if they want to find out about you, they're going to find out about you. The only safe harbor is Yeshua. And, of course, a lot of you folks should consider listening to us on satellite. You can get a new satellite. You contact Frank at AVR. A new satellite isn't all that much costly, and you can get a wide variety of programs on those satellites, and it's also a good way to record from. So, anyway, but you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, our mailing address, at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. And we have a good program lined up for you tonight, but first, a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And while I wish you would all give us ears and wish to hear the truth, Father, I also ask that you would take the spirit of fear out of people's hearts. Allow your peace to come into them so they're not afraid in this time. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father Yahweh, bless this program. Amen and amen. Well, when the so-called Arab Spring started, you know, I felt a real urgency to start having the shofar sound on this program. At that time, I started seeing not so much the lineup of nations, because the nations were already there, but the nations in the Middle East changing the people who were in charge for this end time thing that's going to happen. People don't realize that a lot of those dictatorships over there were actually suppressing war against Israel and the United States. While Obama wants us to back Syrian rebels, as he calls them, Russia says they have troops ready to go in to protect their own inside of Syria. He said this after a United Nations meeting, just couldn't convince them otherwise. So they have troops that are getting ready to go in and protect their people, which they say, I think it's about 20,000 people they have inside Syria. But also, they are going to send airplanes to also back up. So what about the no-fly zone? I don't know. We also know that Iran has been back in Syria. I think that Iran would, or not, I think Syria would have already fell if it had not been for Iran. But our guest tonight, I think, can shine some light on that. I would also like to note that the Vatican has came forward and is releasing a statement saying that 100,000 or more Christians are losing their lives for their faith across the world, with most being in the Africa and the Middle East. Well, you know what, when we listen to people talk about Bible prophecy and things, how many times do you, when they talk about Christians and Bible prophecy and being beheaded and all these things, they act like they're just talking about the West. What these people need to wake up. The martyrdom of end-time Christians is going on right now. At least it's well the start of it. And we'll talk to our guest about that also. Anyway, Obama wants to disarm our nuclear weapons. Other countries are arming. Yes, even Russia is upgrading their weapons. And I hope America, I know most Americans are upset over the IRS targeting Obama's enemies, the NSA using prison to soak up data worldwide. Well, you know what? You better get close to Yeshua. But now I'm going to bring on with me somebody that knows a lot about these affairs. Let's bring on Richard Perry. He is an author of many books, one of them being The Complete Idiot Guides to the Last Days. Welcome, Richard. Are you there with me?
Yeah, Pastor Dan, welcome to you. It's good to be back on the show. And Idiot Guide to the Last Days is my worst book.
Really?
Yeah, it's terrible. No, it's a good book.
I wouldn't say that. You put me in shock. I love that book.
I understand this. Oh, it's accurate. But, that was done, that book was offered to me to do by Penguin Publishing, the people that do all the Complete Idiot's Guide books.
Right.
I had to write it using their format and the way they approach things. They wouldn't let me use a lot of scripture in the book, although I did. I always squeeze in the scripture, but it was not a book written the way I write.
Right.
But they did give me some tips and pointers for future books. And, of course, as you mentioned, I've written several books. But of all the books I've written, I would probably say, well, that's a good book, but the other books are better. Because
right.
The other books, I've done myself, and I've put in all the scripture I've wanted to. In other words, as I write, I always, basically show everybody, what the Lord has been teaching me in scripture. And one of the things, as you were talking, it kind of came to me about one of the things that I want to communicate tonight to anybody that's listening, and is this, and that's that, for years, centuries, 1,000 years, it's been, over 1,800 years since Christ was here last, and since the book of Revelation was written, and since the Olivet Discourse was written, and all these, things are laid down for us. But one of the things that, God keeps impressing them on me as I read the Bible is that he says the prophecies, like he told Daniel, these words are closed and sealed until the time of the end. In other words, until the time of the end came, we, God's people, could not understand the prophecies and what they meant and their significance. Yet, they're written for us. But these words have been closed and sealed until the time of the end.
Absolutely.
The time of the end has begun. And now we can read and understand the scripture and what God is talking about, and it becomes easy to see what scripture is talking about when you read it and look at what's going on in the world today.
Richard, let me butt in for just a moment, and I think this is real important. While I use the phrase the time of the end, and I believe that it's begun. A lot of people just think that, the end times, all that's the same thing. If you weren't going to, could you explain the difference in what we're talking about when we say now the time of the end has started? what's different than, say, the tribulation or so on. You know what I mean.
Okay, yeah, sure. And, you know, there's, the Bible uses various terms, you know, with regard to time. We, most of us that read the Bible are familiar with the term the last days. And, you know, that Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days is a very good book explaining what God means in the Bible about the last days. But there's also another time frame. It's called the time of the end. Now, the last days started with Christ about 2,000 years ago. And that's what Hebrews tells us, right in chapter 1. But the time of the end is what Christ was talking to his disciples about in the Olivet Discourse. And he said a couple of things. He said one thing about the time of the end. He said the generation that sees all these things won't pass away until the kingdom comes. In other words, you know, the generation that starts seeing the signs of the time of the end will also see the return of the Messiah, Christ. In other words, and a generation starts when you're born, and it ends when you die. Just like Jesus said, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. He also told us that nation would rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, earthquakes, and pestilences in various places. Then he said, all these are the beginning of birth pains. In other words, that's the beginning of the time of the end. Now, everybody always says the same thing when you tell them that. Well, wars, revolutions, earthquakes, famines, and pestilences have been going on since the beginning of nations. So how could those things tell us when the time of the end began? Well, here's another good question to ask yourselves as you read the Bible. Would Jesus Christ give his people some information that has no value? No, he would not. In other words, when he said all these things are the beginning of the time of the end, he meant it. However, he was not saying that you'd be able to determine when this started by those things that he mentioned. He was pointing us to something else. In other words, you have to ask yourself, where else in the Bible can we see wars, revolutions, famines, earthquakes, and pestilences all together, you know, in relationship to the time of the end? There's only one other place in the Bible that you find nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famine, earthquake, and pestilence in various places. And that's in the first seals of Revelation. And the first seals is the first sequence of events, of prophecies, that, you know, Christ revealed to John, you know, about the time of the end. And it's been a very confusing topic for most people because the first rider on the white horse is a white horse, and everybody thinks it's either Christ or it's the Antichrist. Well, it's neither. You have to, you know, you have to study Scripture. You have to ask yourself, as you're reading about the horses and riders and the different colored horses and Revelation's first four seals, you got to ask yourself, well, what's a horse and rider? If you ask God to tell you, he will. And he'll also tell you what the significance is of the four colored horses, because there's only one place other than Revelation 6 where there are four colored horses in relation to, well, there's only one other place in the Bible that there are four colored horses, and that's in Zechariah 6. In other words, you know, I'm not going to do that Bible study tonight. You know, we don't have time. But that's not the most important thing, because people have to do that study for themselves. Read the Bible. Read it new. Read the prophecies about the seals of Revelation and figure out what a horse and rider is. You know, if you need help, you can see my website or you can go to my YouTubes and I explain it to you for free. If you want to spend some money, you can spend a couple of bucks and buy one of my books. They all tell you how this works, because this is what God has shown me.
Okay. For the record, let me throw it out there real quick. Folks, his website is lastdaysmystery.com or .info.
No,
rather.
No, no, Dot info. Yes.
Dot info. Yeah. Dot info. I'm just so used to saying .com, but lastdaysmystery.info. And of course, if you're listening, you're going to listen to this in the archives or something like that, there will absolutely be a link to his website. And the first thing you can see on his website is your contact, Richard. I'm sitting here staring at it. Your email address is right there. So he's not dodging you, folks.
Yeah, you can definitely, if you correspond with me, I will respond to your questions. You know, if they're biblical questions, you'll get some good answers. If they're just, you know, what people have been saying about prophecy for the last hundreds of years, you know, keeping in mind that God has said these words of prophecy have been closed and sealed until the time of the end. In other words, ideas about prophecy, you know, from 100 years ago or 50 years ago, you know, may not be any good anymore. You have to look at prophecy fresh. You have to look at what it's saying today in light of the things that, you know, Dan was talking about at the beginning of the show, which was what's going on in the Middle East. What's going on with the United States of America and its economy and its debt and the dollar? All these things are addressed in biblical prophecy. As a matter of fact, the financial situation of the United States is particularly addressed in the second chapter of Habakkuk. Now, people don't normally think of Habakkuk as a prophecy about the time of the end. But let me just read you something, one verse from Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 3. God says, you know, he'd already told Habakkuk to write this down so people can run with it and communicate it to people. He says, the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Now, one thing that that's said to me for years, I've seen it. It says, this is about the appointed time of the end. Okay, this Habakkuk's prophecy is telling us some information, very, very important information about the time of the end. But it also says something else that's kind of subtle. And it says, the revelation waits the appointed time of the end. Well, wait a minute. That's just another way of saying what God told Daniel when he gave Daniel all the prophecies about the time of the end. He said, these words are closed and sealed until the time of the end. Well, here in Habakkuk, he's saying the revelation, which is the revealing of this prophecy, waits the appointed time of the end. In other words, Habakkuk's prophecies could not have been understood until the time of the end began. The time of the end has begun. Habakkuk's prophecies are something we ought to be aware of. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 are the only two chapters you need to read. There's a third chapter, and that's a good one, but in terms of the current events, Habakkuk chapter 1 and 2 will take you from the first seal to what's about to happen. And just for people that haven't heard me before, let me just repeat something. The first seal of Revelation 6 has opened. The white rider on the white horse, that prophecy is completely fulfilled. The prophecy that we're looking at for right now, the next prophecy in the Bible to be fulfilled, will be the second seal of Revelation, the rider on the red horse. And the rider on the red horse is the leader of Iran. Iran, the red horse symbolizes Iran, and the rider on the red horse symbolizes the leader of Iran, which is probably the supreme leader, not this new president.
Right.
You know, And here's what it says about this Iran and its leader. They're going to be given power to take peace from the earth and cause men to kill each other. In other words, it sounds to me like world war. And it says, you know, this leader of Iran is given a great sword in your English Bibles. In the Greek, I think the meaning is more correctly, he's given a great battle. So what we're going to see very soon, I don't know when, the Bible doesn't tell you when, but it does indicate that Iran will take peace from the earth and be given a great battle. And that could happen any day now. And in terms of current events, let me just kind of point out a couple of things. This situation with Syria, just as Dan was saying at the beginning of the show, Iran has already made the commitment to Syria, who is their military ally, that they will not allow Assad to fall. Because if he does, they lose their only ally in the Middle East. Iran also supports the terrorist group Hezbollah in Lebanon. And Lebanon and Hezbollah has fighters fighting for Assad in Syria. And it's reported that Iran is also has fighters, and they are now preparing to send 4,000 of their Iranian Revolutionary Guard troops and probably all their equipment, maybe even tanks and stuff, to Syria to fight for Assad. They will not let Assad fall. Now, listen to this. If the United States, Obama has already said he's going to supply weapons to the rebels. Well, Iran has made a comment about that, and they say that's the biggest blunder that Obama has made in his entire presidency.
Okay, let's stop right there. We've got about 40 seconds before break, and you can take us into that when we get back. And, folks, this is really important information that Richard is putting out, and so you make sure you tune back into the second half. His website is lastdaysmystery.info. And over there, not only can you – I know a lot of you people are getting – and me included – we're getting into an age where we don't even like to read anymore. And so he has a lot of YouTube videos. He has a link to his YouTube site over there and a lot of answers. And again, he has offered up. He said that if you got a question and, about these things, then email him and he'll get back with you. But folks, we'll be back with Richard in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be dependent on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices going up. Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Make sure you tune into the American Voice Radio Network because they have lots of other good programs on there besides mine, of course. But anyway, tune into the American Voice Radio. And folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, the homeless is poor, but I'm also talking about the poor people that come to us from across the city looking for Bibles, looking for clothing, looking for food. You know, and one thing I want to point out tonight is really one of the biggest myths out there. People say, well, homeless, those are just drug addicts and have alcohol problems or mental problems. Well, I think you'd get a mental problem from staying on the street for a period of time. But beyond that, as far as drug addicts and alcohol problems, you know, for numerous reasons, people that have gained those addictions in the street have gained them because they're using it to cope with the street. You got that? They weren't that way when they went to the street. Okay, let's go with another thing. Recent studies say that more than 60% of the homeless do not have alcohol or drug-related problems. They came out and became homeless for numerous reasons like loss of a job, family problems, abuse. Well, that list just goes on and on. But yet, the homeless have become put in this place that people say, oh, that's just a homeless. He's a drug addict. Whatever. I don't need to pass him. I'm just going to walk on by. He's dirty. He's filthy. But you know what? When you walk by those people, you know, the Word of God tells us that we need to be wary because we might entertain angels. You know, one of those people that come up to you just might be an angel in disguise to test you to see where your spirit's at. Because, believe me, even Yeshua and crowd didn't go around but with a coat. Not saying they went around filthy and dirty, but they went around with no money when they went from city to city. You think about that. But right now, we are trying to work on the women's overflow, but we're in summer. And during the summer month, and I'm not accusing anybody of not donating or whatever, but it just during the summertime, donations go through the floor. When school starts back, donations pick back up. And so when you have a ministry like ours that relies on the people that are listening to us on radio for donations or for our mail-out newsletter, because, you know, we don't have a huge congregation that pays for these things. The people that we minister are the poorest of the poor, so we have to rely on you folks to do this. So anyway, pray about it. We really do need your help. But why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love is the first answer, and are treated as family is the second. Beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. People talk about this program, or they call me up, they say, well, what's your program? We do not have any programs. Really, I don't have a homeless outreach program. No, not at all. You just walk in the door and you ask, and I guess you could call that the program. If I have what I can do to help you, I will give it to you. If I don't, I try to find it. We pray it in. Prayer is done with all things. And this is why the agencies tell all their employees, at least not the head of the agencies, but the employees interact about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. Anyway, we're the very last hope for many. We're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father does notice all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. Or you folks that are listening on satellite, you can call me at 620-878-4682. In fact, any of you can call me for any kind of a question from there. Anyway, we're going to get back on the air. We're going to bring our guest, Richard, back on. But I have to make the comment. Again, my producer pointed out to me, he says, well, we do have a program, and it's called a radio program. So, anyway, yuck, yuck, Frank. We're back now with Richard Perry. You there with me, Richard?
I am, Dan.
Oh, well, slight hesitation. I thought maybe you'd left.
No, I'm right here. As a matter of fact, a lot of the things that I've been saying, on your show and other places for quite a few years now, I've been pointing to Iran as the second seal of Revelation, so, red horse and rider. And, and that's an interesting theory, and it will, we won't really know for sure if what I'm saying is I've heard from God or something that I've imagined until it happens. And when it happens, because keep in mind, we already have the first seal prophecy of Revelation fulfilled. That's one witness. When Iran takes peace from the earth, we will have two witnesses. And as the Bible says numerous places, it takes two or three witnesses to establish a matter. The matter in question is, has the time of the end begun? I know it has, but I know it because I've heard it and seen it from Yahweh. Everybody else, unless you've heard it and seen it from Yahweh, is just listening to somebody saying, this is what's going to happen next. Iran is going to take peace from the earth, and they're going to start a war. It'll be in the Middle East, and they're probably going to end up attacking our carriers and our ships in the Persian Gulf. I think that's what the Bible is talking about. But, whether I'm right or wrong, it makes a big difference. Yahweh says in Isaiah 44, he says, I am Yahweh, who carries out the words of his servants and fulfills the predictions of his messenger. I believe with all my heart, everything that Yahweh has taught me and said to me over the years is about to start happening. I've seen some of it, and the rest is going to happen. And when this Iranian war starts, when Iran takes peace from the earth, we're going to have two witnesses, and then immediately after that, we're going to have some witnesses from the prophet Habakkuk and Jeremiah. So we're going to have one, two, three, four, and five witnesses right on top of each other. Because God wants his people to understand what's going on. Unfortunately, all the churches, just like Jesus predicted, have fallen asleep. The parable of the 10 virgins. But it's the second seal war with Iran that's going to cause the cry of the parable of the 10 virgins that wakes up all 10 virgins, which is all the churches. So be prepared, you might be asleep now, but understand this. Christ has already told us in the scripture everything that's going to happen ahead of time. And we can read it and understand it because that's what he says that we can do as his people. So read the Bible. You know, be careful about listening to people like me and other people that are telling you what Bible prophecy is saying. Because unless they're telling you something new that matches up with Scripture, they're probably wrong, because the words have been closed and sealed until now. So anybody that's talking to you about prophecy, like a pre-trib rapture, and there's going to be a war in as the Ezekiel 38-39 war is when Russia attacks Israel, you know, those things are not true. And we need to be reading Scripture. But, you know, I know this is a short show, and we've only got an hour, so just I hope I leave you with this, and that is Iran is going to take peace from the earth and cause men to kill each other. And they'll be given a great battle, and it's going to be a messy war. It'll start in the Middle East. But when it happens, when this Iran war starts, what the Bible indicates is that there will be an economic collapse of the dollar, and I believe of the stock market in the U.S. It'll start there, but it'll spread worldwide. And then that's it recorded in Habakkuk, and it says, your creditors will suddenly wake up, and then you will tremble. And it's talking about the United States. So when this war starts, understand this, the stock market's going to collapse, the U.S. dollar is going to collapse, and the United States is going to go into a financial crisis that will spread around the world because we're such a great consumer within the world. And Obama, you know, who is popular with a lot of people, is going to end up being the most unpopular president in U.S. history, because people are going to taunt him with ridicule and scorn. He's going to slip and fall, and no one will help him up. That's what the Bible indicates. Now, again, this is obviously new information for most people that are listening. But let me just repeat Isaiah 44 again. I am Yahweh who carries out the words of his servants and fulfills the predictions of his messenger. You're going to very soon know whether Richard H. Perry is a messenger of Yahweh or just another crackpot predicting, you know, when the rapture is going to happen. Now, by the way, not predicting when the rapture is going to happen, but I am telling you that Iran is going to take peace from the earth, and that's the next biblical prophecy to be fulfilled. And if
jokingly, Richard, we have a little switch for pre-trib rapture people on this program, but I know you're not predicting that. I'm joking. You know,
unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the church, pastors, elders, teachers, that today, you know, are still teaching the same old thing that they've been taught for so long. They've been teaching the things that they've been taught, so they're not even listening to Yahweh and reading his word, you know, fresh and new every day like they should. And they're asleep, and they don't know what's going to happen. Therefore, they're not alert, and they can't be on guard because they're asleep. This situation with Iran, although it's clearly identified in the Bible for those that study it, is going to catch the whole church asleep. Then they're all going to wake up. I mean, all the churches are going to wake up at about the same time because of the same event. You know, and it's probably not even going to be the war. It's probably going to be the economic crisis that's going to cause all the churches to wake up. But it'll be chaos when all the churches wake up. It's not going to be like, you know, some Azusa Street revival. It's going to be a mess in the churches, because the people in the churches that are God's people, that have the Holy Spirit, are going to quickly realize that they've been lied to about so many things about religion. Because, unfortunately, Christianity today spends a lot of its time doing things that originated with pagan practices. Like they changed the fourth commandment of the Bible, which is the Sabbath, on the seventh day. And now all the Christian churches, pretty much all of them, worship on Sunday, which is
Let me put one in here. Folks, let me tell you what, and I just proved this the other day to somebody. If you go to a Catholic Bible, they take out the one about worshiping any graven images. So, but they still have Ten Commandments. They moved them all up. The Sabbath commandment's no longer the fourth commandment. It's the third commandment. And they take thou shalt not covet and break it in two. Excuse me for laughing. And break it in two and make two commandments out of it. So if you look at a Catholic Bible, that's what you'll find in it.
Don't look at a Catholic Bible. Just pick up your Bible and start reading it and believe what God says. Because His Word is still good. I don't care if you're reading the NIV, the Revised Standard Version, the King James, the New King James is better, you know, but they're all good. They tell you the whole truth, nothing but the truth. In the Bible, when God gave, you know, His people the law and the commandments, He quickly is followed by saying His law and His commandments are eternal. Well, how many people, how many Christians today in New Covenant churches say that the law of God and the commandments of God are eternal? Because none of them are keeping the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. Half of them don't know what the third commandment means. You know, I mean, it's, you got to be careful because, you know, God says it very clearly in His Bible that we have to trust God, not man. Any man, don't trust me. Don't trust any man. Don't trust your pastor. Don't trust any of your elders. Don't trust your Bible teachers. Trust God and read your Bible yourself. Because if you don't do that, then somewhere else, trust in man. Folks, Iran is going to take peace from the earth and cause men to kill each other. That's going to precede an economic collapse in the United States. That's all you need to know. If you don't wake up before that, you'll wake up then. And when you wake up, the Bible says that we're to pay attention to the commandments and the laws of Yahweh. Do what Yahweh says. Stop doing what men say. Stop following the teachings and traditions of men. Open your Bible, read it, and when God says do something, do it to the best of your ability. When God says don't do something, stop doing it. It's that simple. There's only one book. You don't have to go to the Christian bookstore and buy thousands of books. Just have a good Bible and read it, believe it, and do it. Just do it. But well, you know,
Richard, let me pipe in a minute here. I have to, I'm kind of laughing, but not. You mentioned books. I know people, and, you know, I've been studying the end times since, you know, the 90s, and I know people that will, every time a new book comes out on Bible prophecy or theology changes, and, you know, well, have you seen this new book, you know, like a new revelation, and you talk to them, and you find out that they can't, they don't even read in their Bible, and they say things like, well, it contradicts himself. Well, the part of the Bible that contradicts himself, folks, if you're one of those people out there that says that the Bible, the New Testament, it contradicts some of the things in the Old Testament or whatever, it's because you're not looking at it from the right perspective. You need to look at it from the perspective of those that wrote the book and not the traditions, like Richard says, of men, but look at it what Yahweh is saying. And you'll get that better picture if you start from the back of the Bible and read through to the front. Back to you, Richard.
Yeah, it's really important. It's like, you know, and don't think for a minute, you know, a lot of people don't understand Paul's writings. Paul was brilliant. Paul was writing about the cultures and the Hebrew culture and the Gentile culture that he was, you know, is testifying to. And he wrote some profound things, but let me just simply say this. You know, the whole Bible is the Word of God. It's all true, and it doesn't change. God said, He gave the commandments and His law, and He said, these are eternal. When Jesus showed up, He said, do not think I have come to nullify the law. I have not. And then He proceeded to explain that those that practice the law and keep the commandments will be greatest in the kingdom. And then Paul came along and said, you know, everything that Christ said, that's true. Do it. Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath and the law. Paul kept the Sabbath and the law. And he told everybody else to do it too. And if you think that Paul is saying something other than that, better read carefully, because here's what Peter says about Paul's writing. Peter says, everything that Paul wrote was given to him by God and is good, as all of God's word is. But some people twist Paul's writings around to their own destruction. In other words, there are some people that say, when Paul was talking about nailing it to the cross, you know, nailing the law to the cross, he was talking about God's law. No, he wasn't. And he was talking about doing away with the law. No, he wasn't. You know, he was saying that Christ fulfilled the Passover. In other words, he was the fulfillment of the Passover, which was to point to him. And it was Christ's blood, Christ's Passover lamb blood, that gives us our redemption. We don't need redemption through the sacrifices anymore, you know, because Christ has fulfilled that. But that doesn't mean that we should not be keeping the law and the Sabbath and the feast. Hell no, that's how you give honor to God, because he said, do these, don't worship me the way the pagans do, which is what we do. He said, you know, do what I tell you, and don't add to it, and don't take away from it. It's that simple. But folks, two things that the Lord has given me to warn his people about. War is coming, and the next one is when Iran takes peace from the earth, then there's going to be a financial crisis. Then Obama's going to become very unpopular. That'll be the second seal war. But, you know, so I'm warning you about what wars are going to come, and the Iran war is next. But the other thing that I'm supposed to warn people about is to repent. And what do you do? How do you repent? You stop doing the teachings and traditions of men, and you start doing, to the best of your ability, what God tells you to do in the Bible. His word is good, and it's eternal, and it's all true, and he's told us everything that's going to happen ahead of time. And if you want a quick view of that, go to my YouTubes, Richard H. Perry, YouTube. All the information that God has given me is there. There's about 500 videos. You know, or go to my website and see all you want to know about that. But I don't keep the website up, but it's still got a lot of good information. But go to YouTube, go to my Twitter, go to my Facebook, you know, and see what I'm pointing to. But the main thing is go to your Bible, read it, keep watch, be on guard and alert, because things are going to start happening soon. This Iran election with the new president that everybody's saying is more moderate, nonsense. The Bible's still true. Iran is going to take peace from the earth and cause men to kill each other. And then all hell's going to break loose all over the place.
Well, let me say this about Iran. Folks, yeah, don't be deceived by this other guy, because he's just a puppet anyway. He has to do what the supreme leader, the Ayatollah, says. And the prime ministers are merely just puppets. At any point, the Ayatollah could take him out of office if he didn't do his will and do his bidding. And so while he may look like he's more moderate, he can't be any more moderate than the person that's controlling the puppet strings.
Amen. I mean, keep in mind that 680 people applied to become president, and they selected 8 people out of that group. 2 of them dropped out, so there was only 6 people running. They were all handpicked by the clerics and the supreme leader. The supreme leader, during the campaign, was even telling the candidates what they could say and not, you know, and they, what they couldn't say about working out something with the West on the nuclear program. In other words, there has been no change in Iran. There is not going to be any change in Iran. Iran is going to take peace from the earth. It's going to be the second seal of Revelation. It's only the second seal. There are 7 seals, folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Start reading the Bible and figuring out what's coming. This is Richard Perry.
Richard Perry, absolutely, Richard. Give them your contact information, because I'm going to have to say goodbye.
Okay. It's the website is lastdaysmystery.info. You can find me. Just put in Google Richard H. Perry. Richard H. Perry. And I'm not the musician. And I just write books on prophecy, the things that the Lord has told me. Richard H. Perry, that's all you need to know. Google it, YouTube it, you'll find me. I'm easy to find.
Okay, thanks for being on. We'll do it again soon, Richard. All right, bye-bye.
Let's take that again until Iran takes peace from the earth. Bye.
Okay. Amen. Folks, I've got him out just about a minute early so I could read you this scripture that I want to point above all the wars and the other things. Listen to this scripture, and it was written by Paul, and it was in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's now. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For this sort of them that creep into houses and leave captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with different lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we were talking about with all those Bible prophecy books. You know, they're ever learning. They're not ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth because they're not willing to listen to sound doctrine. Also, point out here, you know, more lovers of herself than lovers of God. You know, more lovers of pleasure, rather. They would rather go out and have pleasure than sit in a Bible study or be with their brethren or doing the Father's work. You know, that's why, you know, the people that that are really doing the Father's work, most of those people, they are really being persecuted. You know, we put forth a warning message to you to try to get you to prepare ahead of time before these things happen, because it'll be a lot easier if you have a few things stocked up or you're prepared spiritually before an economic collapse happens or before massive wars come. But folks, we are on the very verge of everything. You need to heed that warning shofar when you hear it. You need to hear the warning and do things that are pleasing to God. You know what the best thing to do is to keep yourself safe? If it does not glorify God the Father, don't do it. If it doesn't glorify Yahweh and His Son, Yeshua, and honor His sacrifice, don't do it. If you have something in your life that doesn't glorify God, then you shouldn't be doing it. It's simple as that. Folks, I want you to really pray about a donation for the homeless and poor. We really do need it. We must remember, folks, there is only one God. And He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave His life for our repentant sins. Don't take it for granted. That's what happened at that cross. He gave His life for our repentant sins. You know, they say all things were forgiven but blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is rejection of the Holy Spirit, is rejection. If you reject those things, then you're going to be in blasphemy. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and only through Him is the way to the Father. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that His face, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.